Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, at that time of the morning, we join our very own Ahmed Tariq, Councillor Ahmed Tariq, on his segment, Straight Talk with Ahmed. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alan asalam to all our radio listeners. Shafat, alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Sunday morning it is, and it's shining Shafat today. Allah has blessed us with another fine day, Shafat.
No, alhamdulillah, Ahmed, really great to have you. The other day I was talking to your other comrade, comrade AV, you know, of the Great Street Masjid, and he's telling me, you know, Shafat, I was the one that was very instrumental in getting the Phoenix Cemetery, and I passed it on to Ahmed, and Ahmed did the rest. Now, Ahmed, in other words, AV is telling me to tell you, to tell the Ummah how you all organized the Phoenix Cemetery. So, Bismillah, Ahmed.
But we actually, at that time, AV was involved in it, and I came in later. It was the brainchild of our late Tony Adams, who started the movement when he was a councillor at the municipality, and he started that. He had a meeting with me and a few of our brothers to say, right, you know what, I have now paved the way for the very first private you can't say private, you can say it's a municipal cemetery, but it will be handed over to an organization in Phoenix. It was the Phoenix Burial Society, and that's when Islamic Burial Council was formed. On the same day, the opening of the Phoenix Burial Society as well as the cemetery was given to them. So on that day, we managed to do our meeting in the morning and an afternoon. We went to Phoenix, and then the handover took place. And it was that the late Tony Adams, who started the movement in council, to say, you know what, the time is right now. We need to put our foot forward and take over the running of this Muslim section within the council and take it over so that we will be able to maintain the cemeteries for the community, and then the restriction in terms of when in council at that time, when in 2001, Shafat, if you wanted to be buried, somebody say if you got a call at say maybe 3 o'clock or around 3:30, so you have to run to the municipal's office, go pay the money first, get a receipt, and then they will instruct the grave diggers. And if you miss the 4 o'clock deadline, then you have to wait for the next day. Now, when we took all this into account, we said, you know what, why is our Ummah is battling when we have got Muslim cemeteries within the council here? Tony, one thing, Allah give him Jannat and, you know, give fill his cover with Noor. He had a foresight on this year, and he then invited me, Salim Qazi, Musa Mullah was there. So we all met together, and we met together. So we thought about this very, very clearly, how we want to proceed with it. Then we formed the Islamic Burial Council, and then we brought all the cemeteries within the ambit of the Islamic Burial Council. But the beauty part of this whole thing, by taking over, yes, the elders, Shafat, I did get some really, really tough words, you can call it, or some of them said, you know what, in Urdu and Gujarati, yes, Lala Pagal hai, or why is Kando hai, why is he want to take it over from the council when they are going to manage it? We don't have to pay anything. They're giving us water, they're giving us electricity. Why you want to take it and then have this problem of maintaining it and all? But the bigger picture of this, then we spoke to a lot of alims. We said, you know what, why should be we governed by the council when we can bury any odd hours of the night? So when we took over, today, alhamdulillah, Shafat, we can bury 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Why give the mayyat taklif? You have to wait for the next day when they will come at 7 o'clock to start at work. They will dig. By the time they finish digging, it will take them 2 hours. Then the mayyat can be only after 10 or 11 o'clock. So that was the main purpose of taking over. But alhamdulillah, Allah made it so easy. You know, today we got like just under 20. cemeteries within the Itigwini municipality that we control, Islamic Burial Control. And all these cemeteries and Salimis, you know, is still doing a super job by keeping the cemeteries tip-top condition. So alhamdulillah, you know, we're fortunate, unlike the other provinces, and you know recently what is happening in Cape Town, what is happening in the other part of our country where there's no cemetery space. And we always looking for private cemeteries to convert them into Muslim cemetery space. So it makes it easier for us, Shafa.
You know, Ahmad, as you said, maybe the elders had the filtered or the blinkered way of thinking, and it was their way or the highway. And if they said all that, sometimes you had to bite the bullet and carry on. But in your family circles, you know, very few will know that you are related to the Lokas and you have the Randris. You're all very close family members. How have some of your family members who have been in this work of, some had the Darul Yatama and some also with the Darul Yatama or Masakin, and some had these what house, the boarding house, you remember what they used to call that, Musafir Khana, sorry, and all your family members, how did that impact on you? Had any of those family members come and given you good advice, Ahmad?
Shafak, fortunately, I was a Springo boy, and my mentor was Molana Harun Abbas Umar, Allah give you Jannat. Then you got Mufti Saleji there. You had a lot of elders in Springo Beach that they had foresight and everything. So I went by Maulana Harun. I said, this is the position and this is what we want to do. And all that, he said, you don't worry, make Bismillah and go. Allah will protect you. Allah will make it easy for you and you will get it. And then family members did support me. And then some of them, some family members also said, just be careful, but these are elders in the community, and these are they with them is when they talk, you sit down and you have to listen. That's the power they had. The late A.M. Mullah, the Ibrahim Musa, then you get the late Isuf Tumol. Now Isuf Tumol, nobody wanted to go near him, but I went there and I said, I had one or two heavy confrontation with him as well. But, but it was all for the purpose, one purpose only, Shafat, and that is for the work of Deen. And that he did, and only for the pleasure of Allah. And then he realized too, and eventually, in the latter stage of his life, he was very close to me too. And then he brought me on to Darul Yatama. I served about maybe a year and a half, 2 years there under them, just getting the feel of it, how Darul Yatama works and everything. Darul Yatama was the only, beside Bayview, and Darul Yatama was the only burial service in Durban and surrounding at that time, Shafat.
Absolutely. Hey, Azad Yusuf Lokat, you're listening to us too. Yeah, your cousin Yusuf there in Westville. He made hijrah from Springo Beach to Westville. And I said, hey, Chef, I feel like coming back to the beach. I don't know about Ahmad. Ahmad is well entrenched in his area there in Musgrave. Well, Ahmad, moving on from our... all right, what's the latest on Kafan Dafan? Any news from there?
That's what I was saying. If you read this morning's paper, in fact, I was in... I phoned Salim on... It was Monday morning. I said, Salim, where are you? He said, no, I'm busy. So I said, I'm going to Mobeni Heights Cemetery. Just below our Muslim section in Mobeni Heights Cemetery, there's a cemetery for the non-Muslim. And you won't believe it, Shafat, the sewer that is broken, and there's covers, the grave, you can't say covers, because these are graves there for non-Muslim. And they have buried people there, and what is happening is all the bones and all are starting to float now because the raw sewer is running right to the bottom. So we went. There's a massive, big article that we got in our paper. In fact, my chairperson, Mr. Zakwale, have taken this thing up. We were there. We took photos and everything. And I was there because he told me, you leave everything and you've got to meet me there. Because and in cemetery, he says, this is your portfolio. You need to be there. And then we had an interview. It was televised during this week on Monday evenings, national TV, and then we managed to resolve this thing, and we put the council to term, and they're busy starting to work with it. From as of tomorrow, they have found funding somehow or the other. They have to sort it out because it's a black family, otherwise there will be a massive problem in the community. When it comes to them, Shafaat, you cannot interfere with their grave. That's very, very important. We must understand. When they got their ancestors' day, that's why they put big concrete slab. Nobody must touch that. So they are very, very particular when it comes to especially cemetery and the ancestors where they're buried. They're very, very particular in that sense.
Yeah, Jazakallah for sharing that, Ahmad. And as you say, you know, you take it very seriously. And all the graves, as you said, they don't recycle. It's done for keeps. And even those freedom fighters that passed away in Zambia, Botswana, and so forth, they took the bones from there and brought it back here and made sure that they put it in a permanent place. Well, moving on, Ahmad, many things happening in our council and the battle of the wraiths. What's the latest there, Ahmad?
Shafaat, on Friday, they brought an urgent application to, you know, as I said previously, and in our shows, we have all been always talking about it and in our radio station, that one, you cannot hold the municipal money for your race, water, lights. You cannot do that. Because there is a precedent set that Lichtenberg versus Berg River Municipality, that 2013, and the Act makes it very, very clear that you cannot hold the money of the municipal for any service. If you got a problem, simple ABC, and I said this previously as well, report it to the council, or you get a there's two forms actually. One is a settlement form. You go there and you apply for a settlement, and the other one is a dispute invitation form. Now you got a dispute. You are saying to the rate, you're telling the council that, you know what, I have a problem. I'm not happy with your rate assessment. One, for the last 2 years, you all have overcharged me for whatever various reason, and I'm not happy with the new increase. The new increase came to 18.5%. Now they brought it to 15.8%. So now that matter has been resolved, and every municipality in the country, annual rate increases, you get that. That you cannot stop. That, you know, because everything is going up. So you got a problem, they're giving you a leverage. Shafaat Ahmad Khan got a problem at Spingo Beach, Dyker Road, house number 30. I'm not happy. I'm owing the council 3,800 rand. And this is a problem that I cannot pay because you all have overcharged me for my rates for the last 2 years, and you list it down for which year, you do the dispute invitation, you go log it. Once it is been logged, Shafaat, I guarantee you, they will not disconnect your electricity for light, water, or rate. That will come to the head of treasury, it goes through the system, and they will analyze this thing. They will invite you, they say, right, come sit with us, tell us how you arrived at your figure, and this is how we arrived at our figure. Then you tell them, you know what, now I'm in the real financial state at the moment. I can't pay this 3,800. Now what do I do? They'll tell you, okay, fine. You got one or two options. One, you can now apply. They will give you a form. You fill it. You say, okay, I want you to do it over 24 months or 12 months. They'll say, okay, right. You're owing us 3,800. Give us 10% of that. So 380 rand you pay upfront there, and you do the balance over 24 months or 12 months. Everything is there for you. So you can't hold their money. So because they've got the systems in place. So you can't run now to court and say, you know what, I have got a problem. I'm not going to pay. I'm taking this money. I'm putting it into the Ratepayers Association. They're holding 1.2 million of the people's money. What happened to them in the last 1 week? How many people's lives got disconnected? And that, it's not going to get connected now. Because now the matter is sub judice, it's legal. Till that matter is resolved, then they're going to connect it. Now, they're suffering from how many days now? They're not going to connect. Or else, they'll have to run to the council. Whatever the amount is, they must pay that amount because the matter is set down. The application that the Westville Ratepayers Association brought is only set down for the 1st of November. So there's nothing they can do. And even the one that they ran on Friday, at 2 o'clock to bring an urgent application. When they brought it before the judge, listen to this, Shafaat, very intensively. When they brought that application, the judge looked at it, They say, fine, it's municipality. We have to, in terms of the law, we have to give them the opportunity to respond. So we're postponing this matter till next week, Thursday. So what happened again? Now they have already got a lawyer. They brought an advocate for that day. They have to pay him. That advocate is not going to work for free. Then 3 weeks ago, they brought another application. And they brought it before the High Court. They lost that with cost, Shafat. The cost was almost 140K. Now, where are they going to get all this money? They're holding the monies of the people that put their money into in safekeeping to say that they were going to resolve this thing. That's what they're telling everyone. Now, the thing is this, they have already starting to have to start paying the lawyers and all that. So from that 1.2, say 400K will come out, they only got 800. How are they going to satisfy all the clients that have put the money in good faith into their accounts? So it's a massive problem. People are not thinking. It's simple. I do this every day, Shafat. I had somebody now for 9 million, and there was a proper dispute. We did that thing in no time, it was resolved. People bring to me 2,000, 5,000, they got, some of them haven't paid for 2 years. There's a legitimate problem there. But everything has got a system. Well, once you fail with them, you went through the proper process, you brought the dispute resolution, you did everything, they're not prepared to listen, then you run to the court, then you got a big charge. But the way they're doing it, Shabbat, I think they want to take a bath. And so I feel sorry for the people that put the money in there, because from now till November 1st, they are disconnecting. In fact, they are going to go all out and they're going to disconnect. So that's why when it comes to things like that, talk to people who knows what they are doing. They find out from the people who knows the law backwards. Go to an advocate, get proper opinion. When they first invited me and my chairperson of Musgrave Ratepayers Association, I went to their meeting. And the very first question I told him, and there was a junior advocate there and the attorney, I told him, do me a favor. Go and spend maybe 10,000 rand or whatever it is. Get the legal opinion first. And I quoted him all the precedents also. And I said, get a legal opinion. You know, they sometimes people went to standard 14, me, I went to standard 8. Sometimes, you know, they think they're smarter than me. I said, then, you know what, I had nothing to do with them. I told my people here and the chairperson, Mohammed Khotu, you make sure you keep yourself out of that. Yeah, don't join them, because once they put your name as Musgrave Ratepayers Association, you became a part of that application. When they lose their case, all the people from Musgrave have to pay for the cost as well.
Well, Ahmed, you're making a lot of sense there. And as you said in the recent case that we've been hearing, in council, they're talking and they say, yeah, but, you know, not everyone either with these people. There's only a few, three or four streets. But we will disconnect all these few streets and we'll let the others that haven't objected, those that are paying the rates and all, we will not disconnect them. So, you know, how do we read into this situation, Ahmed? The fact is that there's no service delivery. You know, people are being compromised. Perhaps some will tell you, but Ahmed, they have a legitimate cry. But we are just paying these people and they are just collecting the money, but they are still bullying us without service delivery. How would you react to that, Ahmed?
Shabbat, we in KZN, service delivery issue is not only in KZN. Now, I'm not sharing, you know, maybe people are thinking that, you know, Ahmed Farak here, he's talking like one of them or anything like that. I'm not talking like that. I'm saying too simple. Service delivery is, even in Cape Town, they say Cape Town is a very good city and all. They got problems in Cape Town. Every municipality in the country has got service delivery issues. We understand that. The reason is, Shafat, for the last 15, 20 years, they have not serviced the infrastructure. They, you know, in anything, I tell you a good example. You got your Toyota car. If you don't take it to a reputable service dealer to go and service your car on an annual basis, your brake shoes, you get your timing right, you get your fuel consumption will go up because you're not servicing the car. It's the same thing in municipality, in all the municipalities. Anything, even your own house, Shafat. If you don't maintain your house, what happens? The gutters start falling, the windows start falling, you don't paint it, you got cracks on the wall there because, you know, it's not sealed off properly and all these things. Because it has not been serviced properly, and the people in council, I only joined them, this is in November 1st, which is going to be 2 years. And what I have did so far with the help of Allah, I'm starting to deliver. The long and the short is simple. Because of the infrastructure, we cannot service everything. And you know, you got potholes, you got water issues, you got sewage issues, you got electricity issues. You know, and we think, you know, we are giving our A grade coal. A grade is going away. If you go to Richards Bay, you'll see maybe 20, 30 kilometers only truck lined up, all going away. Everybody is using coal. They're taking our coal and they're generating power in overseas. Yet we got it there. If you go to the Karoo, you got gas there. You got coal there. We got so much of coal we're exporting. We could have this. The load shedding will be history if they only use their head and start pumping the coal, the A-grade coal in our country, get the power stations up and running. We got more than enough coal, and your prices of electricity will come down because we got the resources in the country. It's the same thing. Now, your question is very, very simple. We're not giving service delivery. People are cutful with everything here in the country. We actually say, we are saying, let's fix South Africa. To fix South Africa, you need not me only, you need everybody. Because you need the government, you need the infrastructure, you need the money. You have to now put this whole thing together, put this country right. And it's going to take us time. It can be done. And Shafat, I can tell you safely, in the new government coming in next year, and if we can keep the ANC under the 50% threshold, and you have a good coalition, and everybody, you get the right thinkers. Now, people are really cut full of what is happening in the country. They're saying, you know what, enough is enough. We want to stay here. This is our country, and we want to fix South Africa. It can be done.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And looking at this message, it says, please discuss with Ahmed Barak Abrushaf. He says, in the week this happened, one report states, Ahmed Barak, poor quality water threatens Durban North and South Beach. The other report says Durban University of Technology scientists confirm Durban water is safe for consumption. So, Ahmed Barak, who is right? Why opposite messages going around? This really puts the people in a dilemma. Please confirm. Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
Shafat, you know, Durban is massive. You know, you got in even if you take KZN, you got almost 901 municipalities in the whole province. Now, if you take some of the infrastructure, it's super, super. You know, they have, you know, whoever did it previously, it's maintained and all that. You know, you go on some of the areas and all, it's running beautifully. You got no issues there. Now, if you check that water, and you go and do the test, you 100% you can eat drinkable. You got no issues with it. There's no raw sewage going into from the river to the sea and all that. It's clear. But if you go to pump stations, which we did in the last week, there's about 9 or 10 pump stations. You go and do that test, 100% you cannot drink that water. So you have got the good and the bad, because not if you can't mix everything. Like he says, the one guy is saying this is good, the other is saying this is not used for drinking. So that is the problem. So there is some very, very good systems are in place there. The water, you can drink it direct from the tap, but some of them you can't even drink it from the tap because it's already, the raw sewage is going into it and it's mixed. So therefore, you have a problem with that.
Councillor Ahmed Barak, assalamu alaikum. Please inform us effectively, is South Africa a failed state? And if so, what are the repercussions and implications? Jazakallah khair for a very informative program. Ahmed?
Shabbat, South Africa is not a failed state. if South Africa was a failed state, yes, I agree, from all the municipalities, there's 37 municipalities in a country that has to be revamped totally, because some of them are also in administration. But this country is very, very easy to fix. It's not failed at the moment. If it was failed, then you'll see the army take over, you'll have a coup in this country and all that. So we're not in that stages or anything. Then if this was a failed state, why people are investing in this country, Shafat? That's number one. Secondly, you know, when the chips are down, when the things are, you know, the property market is down at the moment, why do you think all the people are investing in properties? Now, you might be thinking, why the registrar in Peter Marisburg, registrar of properties, is so busy all of a sudden? You'll find that the people who have got money, they will invest in these times. Because when the good times come, they're making gold money. That's how business and everything economic works that way, Shafat.
Absolutely, as you said, and all these things are happening. But, you know, what about the construction mafias? You know, people say that they are not allowing different suburbs to get on with the work. And as soon as, a construction takes place, these mafias are coming in with truckloads and van loads and threatening the people that are doing the work and say, stop all constructions because we need to get our cuts. What is the municipality doing about these bullies that are construction mafias who don't want to give up, Ahmad?
2.5 months ago, with Bekin Kele, the Minister of Police, when we also marched at the in Pretoria, we did a march and we gave a memorandum to him personally to say that, you know what, these are the problems that, you know, there's every minute there's somebody gets murdered, there's child abuse, there's woman violence, there's a whole lot of things. We lifted out and we gave him. And then he has assured us, and now I've seen it as well, there's a special task team only looking after that day. And there's another task team also, Shafat, they have already put in all for the hijacking where the vehicles were going overseas. They broke that, they back off that already as well. So things are starting to look, because the ANC government has only got less than 10 months to put their act together. Because if they're not, they know what's going to happen to them. So they are going all out to make sure they do something to save their skin at the moment. That is the problem. And things are starting to look now, because every department, they also went out and brought their own engineers, their own architects, that who knew the city, who knew what was happening. They're starting to do all that. We can see it in council. You know, when we know we got a big, massive problem with water at the moment. We bought brand new 45 containers, trucks. It's already starting to happen. We're starting to give water to, like, if you see for the last week, 2 weeks, you got big problem in Lotus Park. I spoke to the head of water and sanitation yesterday as morning as well as last night. They're starting to put that in place there. There's a Slanga cash and carry. They got a private tanker. It's helping them there as well. Because even with this 45, it's not enough, because our pipes are all, you know, it's corroded. It's not, you know, you have to do a whole lot. If you have to fix Pingo Beach, every road, we have to start digging and put new pipes, because all the pipes and all these were old asbestos pipes that were put in the apartheid arena. Now, all these things have to be done. So what do? You have to take, when you analyze everything, where the major problem is, first fix your pumps. Get your water systems right first, and then start fixing your pipes and get it to the community. And that's what we are doing. Shafan, you know, if everybody moan and groan, everybody is doing that at the moment. Yes, there is no service delivery. You are paying rates. I'm paying lights. I'm paying water. But we're not getting twice a day. There's load sharing. All these things, people are upset about it. They come at us full on. You know, we don't want to talk to the councillors. They say, but end of the day, you can't do it. You know, we know if there's a problem, you know, and I said this in this radio station previously. I come from the old school and I was taught this year. Problem is a golden opportunity. Now, when you have a problem, you attack that problem. Then you put your head into gear and you say, right, I have got all these problems in the 10 departments in municipality, water, sanitation, electricity, roads, you know, parks, grounds, swimming pool, libraries. Analyze everything, put it on the table and say that where we need to focus now, the very first most important thing, the potholes, water and sanitation and electricity. These are the four. Let's concentrate on it. And they're starting to doing. They're starting to do that. And they brought the old Mike Sutcliffe in again as an advisor. So things are starting to look up now. They're starting. They know where the problem is. They're attacking their problem now. You know, if you got a debt and if you got a problem, what you do? You analyze. You take all your creditors. You make a list of it. You say, okay, fine. I owe 100,000. Now let me find a solution. How I'm from what I have got. How I'm going to pay all these people little, and I come out of it and I make arrangement with everybody. It's the same thing in council. Now they know the problem. They're starting to attack the problem.
Brilliant indeed, Ahmad, and I really appreciate that. Messenger says, Ahmad Parak, Zimbali properties are bought with money fleeced from a Durban solid waste tender linked to Zandile Gomeda, worth 22 million, has been taken by the asset forfeiture unit. And they have obtained this, and it will be sold. Will that money go to the Itikweni municipality, or will it go to the forfeiture unit? Please advise, Ahmad.
Shafat, when the forfeiture unit, when they attach, one, you cannot sell the building, you can't do anything. Then eventually they'll have to auction that building, and whatever proceeds comes out of that. And furthermore, at the moment, they cannot sell it or anything. The matter is before court. And once the matter is resolved, if she's found guilty, then obviously they will attach everything, not only those two properties there. They're going to attach a house and everything. Whatever was stolen from the Itikweni municipality, they'll have to get it back from her somewhere. And she might, you know, she will go and spend time in jail as well. So this is where we are at this moment. But we cannot say much because this matter is sub judice and it's also before the court at the moment.
This message says, Assalamu alaikum. I really enjoy this program. Please concentrate on Peter Marisburg also, Ahmad. In this part of the world, we also have a lot of looting take place and people are not well taken care of. But alhamdulillah, pay some attention for us. Please, Ahmad, any message for us in Imsundi? I don't know if he's got it right there. What's the name? Imsundi, Ahmad?
Imsundi municipality. Shafat, that municipality have got a major, major problem. In fact, I'm not sure. I don't know how long this is going to last. And the province government is looking into that. And the murder rate and the robberies and everything that is taking place in Peter Marisburg, it is alarming at the moment because the latest death came out from the SAPS and KZN. We are the third highest in the country in terms of murders and robbery, hijacking and all that. So the minister of police and, you know, the police commissioner, you know, I was in a roadblock on Friday as well, just as a, you know, as a councillor, I had to do the observing to see how they work and all that. And then we went there and then Bria police, they sent a fully fledged team. So all these things are happening in every suburb. They're going out and without you knowing, you know, even as a counselor, I only got to know on that day that there's going to be a roadblock. You are invited, just put your jacket and come. And we just have to stand and watch and see how they're doing their work. And then a lot of people got caught in that roadblock as well. So they're going to go all over. So the crime rate they are going to start to bring down to, because end of the day, you know, 2024 is around the corner. They will do whatever it takes to make sure to satisfy the community. Otherwise, they're not going to be anywhere near the polling station, Shafat.
JazakAllah for that. This message says, Ahmad Parak, do you know the roads and the stormwater team this week? They repaired a sinkhole on Mona Road earlier this week. Heavy rains and pressure on the road from heavy duty trucks and transport sea freight to storehouses on Mona Road are some of the reasons that caused the sinkhole. But come to Swinger Beach and see these big trucks, how they're moving in and out of Avenue East and so forth. It seems as if very soon the whole of Swinger Beach Bridge will fall down and the roads will disappear. What do we do, Ahmad? Come and help your old town. Ahmad?
Shafat, Bingo Beach and, you know, Hussein Mullah is there. In fact, he's also with the municipality as well. In that case, the brother need to send a letter to me, and then I can take this thing up. And then at the moment, you know, I go direct to the city manager. I got access to the speaker. I got access to all the government in the municipality. I can go to them. I said, this is a problem. And what we'll do is we'll bring a resolution, section 27. We want answers before the full council must give us an answer for this year, what they are going to do. So we you know, the ammunition is there for us, but we need letters to support it, to bring it before Section 27. And we did debate that thing in council. We want to know, this is not right. We need this thing to be rectified.
Yes, Ahmad, looking at this message, it says, Bruce Schaffer, this week Ahmad's party had a successful meeting with Itikweni security guards. I know this because I got some contacts there that was talking to me. Any feedback from the meeting, Ahmad?
Shafan, we were the first. You know, in RK Khan, what happened was, the municipality gave outsourced the security company. Now, when you outsource, now what happens, these guys, if they don't have workers and all, they bring anybody, all the foreigners and all, just give them the uniform. And it's, you know, in RK Khan Hospital, you know, you got people are sick there. You need to be, you know, you must have the place properly secured at the gates and all that. So things were not happening. So I was one of them, went about a month ago, yes. Then what we did was we brought it under Section 27 in council and we debated this thing. And then what we said, no, all hospitals and municipal officers anywhere, we want in-house now. We don't want it to go out, mustn't be outsourced. The problem with outsource, we're not in control of the security and all that. So we want to be in-house so that we know that we are creating job, and we are creating job for the South Africans, and these are not foreign workers and all that. So therefore, the meeting that we had, a very, very successful meeting, and they were all, in fact, the province government agreed with us, and they're changing. Things are starting to change now. So even in RK Khan, as we speak, they have started to put in new security from the municipality where we would be able to control from the council as well.
Well, I tell you, Ahmad, really, you made for easy digestion this morning. And Jazakallah Khair for being very comprehensive. You know your things and you're up to speed with whatever you do. And you're doing your job very diligently. Your parting words this morning?
Shabbat, people are crying left, right and center for service delivery. Yes, I agree. But they must also write to us. When more people write to the counselor, yeah, it takes Bingo Beach. Your counselor is nobody. You get hold of him. If he doesn't come, then one time, two times. The third time, send a letter to his party, to the DA, and say, listen, he's the ward counselor. And furthermore, also, Shafat and Hussein will also guide you, and I'll also guide you on. Every ward has got money allocated. So we need to know from nobody, listen, hold on. We got money allocated to that ward there. Where did you spend that money? What did you do with that money? The council spent the money, but it was allocated to that ward. Now, you are a ward councillor. You must account now what they did. So if there's a problem, we need to know. The community needs to know. So this is what you need to do, Shafan.
Yes, Ahmad, I'm thinking very deeply. I can hear. Yeah, Hussein there. He's right. He's about one street away from me. Yeah, he's right on Ocean Terrace. Yes, Hussein. Yeah. Ahmad Rekhan, yeah, Ahmad looks up to you. You're the go-to man for Stinger Beach. Yes, Ahmad, you have already done what has been done this morning on Straight Talk. Very popular indeed. Allah keep you. Allah bless you. Inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.